We're going to cause trouble.
Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. So week four was crazy in college football. Texas stayed on top for a second straight week in terms of power rankings on the college scene after their huge win over Louisiana Monroe. Arch Manning started his first game, and he kept going off for the Longhorns, and their defense is elite. Michigan's offense got it done against USC, a big statement win at the Big House. And how about seeing USC playing in Ann Arbor? We don't see that normally. We usually see them in the Rose Bowl. So how about Nebraska and Northern Illinois? They both lost over the weekend. UNLV got on the list in week four after a big win over Kansas last week. And the Rebels are in a situation where they could be a top group of five contender seeking to gain one of the 12 college football playoff spots. Let's look at the power rankings heading into this weekend's games in college football. All right, Texas still number one. Sarkisian has it all going, and they're playing like a team that has it all. The speed, toughness, talent, depth, quarterbacks, you name it, they have it all. Their defense is just stout. And so here's Texas, still number one in the power rankings. Georgia's number two. They were number two, so Kirby's got it all in front of him right now. A game in Tuscaloosa on Saturday at Bryant-Denny Stadium. We'll find out who the badass is now, won't we? They got injuries. Georgia has not given up a touchdown in its first three games, but they face the Tide, an offense that has explosive plays. And DeBoer, in his first season in Tuscaloosa, Georgia's going to be without one of their top linemen in the game, All-American guard Tate Ratledge, who had ankle surgery. So Georgia's number two. Tennessee is number three. How about the Vols? They mean business. They were number four. Now they're number three. They're 4-0. They have everything going through four games. Their latest win in Norman against Oklahoma at Memorial on Saturday. They won 25-15. They were up 22-3 going to the fourth quarter. They have been dominant on defense. They score a lot. They got a great quarterback. They're deep. They have it all. A great defensive front. They got guys making plays all over the field. And remember when they beat Iowa last season in the Citrus Bowl, Tennessee's D has given up just one touchdown since then. And they have so much excitement right now. They look like a playoff team for sure. It's number four Ohio State this week. They were number five. They showed what they can do in a rout of Marshall, 49-14. They scored four TDs of 40 yards or more in the game, tying for most in a game over the past 20 seasons. Two plays into their first drive, Egbuka handed a nice play to their fans with a catch in the middle of a 68-yard scamper for a score. Judkins followed up with an 86-yard touchdown. They had it going. The third longest run in Ohio State history was Judkins. And then Travion Henderson added a 40-yard TD dash, and Jeremiah Smith had a 53-yarder. This guy just continues to rake every week. Smith and Pro Football Hall of Famer Chris Carter are now the only true freshman over a three-game span to have the productivity that he's done. Led by Smith, Egbuka, Judkins, and Henderson, the Buckeyes have so much offense in Columbus. They're going to be tough to beat. Number five is Alabama. They were number three. They've dropped down. They had a bye, so they get their first test. A nationally ranked game against Georgia, their rival, and they get to play them in Tuscaloosa. Their offensive line was banged up at the start of the season, but they're healthy now going into this game, and they're coming off that big win over Wisconsin, if you'll remember. So let's see what Jalen Milroe and the Tide offense can do. He's accounted for 14 TDs, 8 through the air, 6 rushing in the first three games of this season. Number six is Ole Miss. I love this team. They were number seven. They move up one. And they haven't faced good teams, Furman, Middle Tennessee, Wake, and then Georgia Southern. But Lane Kiffin's got the offense. They just stomp everybody. Following their win last week, 52-13, the Rebels have now outscored teams by 220-22 this season. Against Georgia Southern on Saturday night, Jackson Dart threw for 382 and four tutties. He now has 1,554 yards through four games, the most of any SEC quarterback in the last 20 years. So look here. It's the number seven Miami Hurricanes. They were number six, and they dropped down. Meanwhile, they're winning. The Canes 4-0, but they were 4-0 last year. But they look so much different with the talent and the quarterback, Cam Ward. In their 50-15 win over USF on the road in Tampa, he threw for 404 yards and three tutties, becoming the first Miami player with at least 300 yards passing in each of his first four games in the last 25 years. The Canes, it's all about the U, baby, have scored 209 points. It's most through four games in the program's history. They've outscored their first four non-conference opponents by 168 points. That's also their largest point differential in program history through four games. I love the Canes. They keep rocking. They play on Friday night at home at Hard Rock against rival Vitek. The Hokies come calling to South FLA. Penn State is number eight. Aller's got the Nittany Lions rolling. They're up from number 10. And they would not have to deal with another scare against a MAC opponent, because they killed Kent State at Beaver Stadium. They were up 28-0. Aller and the defense did the rest. Penn State had 718 yards in that game. And that broke a record that stood since 1926. And you look at Aller, he posted his first half-scoring record. He had 250 in the first half. He found three different teammates for tutties. And he's been really good, 17-21 for 309 and four tutties. And it looks like he's got his act together. So let's keep an eye on Penn State as they continue through their schedule. Number nine, Oregon. They were number 11. They move up. The Ducks are starting to play better. They started the season looking like they weren't in sync at all. But they have the talent and speed and the ability to win the rest of their games. If you really think about it, a week off is probably what Dan Lanning needed the most heading into Big Ten play. They can improve. Dylan Gabriel has looked more comfortable. In their win over Oregon State on the road, he threw for 290 yards. A matchup against 1-2 UCLA is in the rebuilding year for the Bruins on their schedule next. They have a new head coach and everything else. Can the Ducks light it up against the Bruins here? And then they have tougher matchups down the way with Ohio State, Michigan, and Michigan State as you look ahead. Number 10 is Utah. The Utes were 14, and now they move up. Cam Rising, just another problem, one after the next. This guy's missed time. He's always been injured, this and that, but they keep clicking. They're Big 12 front runners. Rising injured his throwing hand, and it kept him on the sideline on Saturday at Oklahoma State in Stillwater. But they still got it done. 22-19, a big win, the program's first top 15 win since 2018. They have the best rusher in Micah Bernard, who totaled a career best 182 yards in week four. And they have all kinds of guys that can make plays. You know they're good. They're starting to really find themselves. Let's see what Utah does. All those projections to win the Big 12. Right now, they're holding steady and holding true. At number 11, it's Missouri. They were number nine. They fall down. But they keep winning. They had a tough win against Vandy. How about double overtime, 30-27 over Vandy, and Mizzou outgained the Commodores by 118 yards. Nate Noel rushed for 199 yards to lead Missouri. but they had problems in the red zone, and they kept having to deal with field goals. They can't score tutties. But bottom line is, Missouri keeps winning. They have a trip to Texas A&M looming in week 6, but they head into a bye week at 4-0, and they're still winning in Columbia. At number 12, it's Michigan. How about the Wolverines, the big win over USC? They were 16th, now they're 12, and they looked a lot better. They found themselves against the Trojans in Ann Arbor at the Big House. And senior running back, Kalel Mullins. How about this guy? In that 27-24 win, he had it going. They finished with only 32 passing yards, their fewest in a game since 87. But they had it all going with running the ball. Mullins, Davis Warren was the quarterback. Now it's Alex Orji. He rushed for 43 yards. Michigan rushed for 199 yards in the first half. And USC only played one half, the second half. So on the 89-yard game-winning possession, the Wolverines handed off to Mullins 8 times while throwing it only twice. He had a 63-yard run that was crazy. And then a fourth and a goal, a 1-yard scoring plunge. He dove over, and the Michigan Wolverines won the game. At number 13, it's Louisville. They were 19th, and they came through against Georgia Tech 31-19. So Louisville keeps winning. Up next, a trip to South Bend to take on the Fighting Irish. At number 14, it's Clemson. They were 17, but they spanked NC State and just lit them up. They just kept scoring. It got ugly. So they continue to get better after they opened the season with a loss and everybody wrote them off. At number 15, USC. What's there to say? They lost to Michigan. They were 8th, and now they dropped 7 spots. At 16, it's Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish. They were 20th, now 16th. They'd love to see Riley Leonard take fewer shots, I'll tell you that much. But the bottom line is, in their win over Miami of Ohio, Leonard ran for 143 yards and 2 scores. So Notre Dame has started winning again. Thank God for the love of the Irish. At 17, it's LSU. I'm not worried about this team at all. They were 21st, now 17th. I just don't think they're that good. They were tied with UCLA at 17s. They ended up beating them, putting 34 on them. And I just don't care about LSU this year. I don't think they're that good, to be honest with you. At 18, it's Iowa State. They were 23rd. They didn't mess around against Arkansas State. They blew them out 52-7. And now they have a much more hectic scene in the Big 12 race. 3 other teams, Utah, BYU, and UCF, are all undefeated coming out of week 4, with the Cyclones being one of those teams as well. Number 19 is Illinois, the Fighting Illini. I love this team. They went to Lincoln and they beat Nebraska. They got a quarterback that can throw the ball. Everybody thought that Rayola was going to get it done, but it was Altmyer who excelled and won the game. And their defense, 8 tackles for a loss and 2 forced fumbles. Illinois recorded just its second road win against an AP top 25 team in the last 15 years. BYU is number 20. How about this team? They weren't ranked, but now they are after beating number 13 Kansas State 38-9 for the Cougs' biggest win over a top 15 team in school history, ending a 5-game losing streak to Big 12 teams. And how about this team? They had a 2-minute stretch before halftime when they took the game over and K-State was up 6-3. The Cougars scored twice. Once on a fumble return, scoop and score. And then how about Avery Johnson, a 23-yard TD, a pick right there to get into the end zone. Pick 6, Hizzy. They were up 17-6 at the half. In the second half, how about Parker Kingston, a 90-yard punt return for a tutty. And that was a 6.5-minute span when they scored 31 points and shut the door on the Wildcats. That was the end of them. So at 21, it's Oklahoma State. They were 13th, but they lost to Utah, and that was all she wrote. for that. They were at home at Boone Pickens as well, so that hurt them. Indiana wasn't ranked. Now they're number 22. How about Kurt Cignetti, the new coach of the Hoosiers? And they've gone through their first four games, scoring an average of 41 a game. For the third straight game, Ohio transfer QB Curtis Rourke has been almost perfect. 16 of 20 for 258 and a tutty in their win, 52-14 over Charlotte. The Hoosiers now get tougher tests. They have a shot this weekend at home against Maryland to go 5-0 for the first time since 1967, and the only third time that that would have happened in program history. K-State's 23rd after they lost. They were 12th and dropped big time. Oklahoma's 24. They lost to Tennessee. That's why they're 24, hanging by a thread. And UNLV gets in. They're coming off being off Saturday after they had beaten Kansas. And so you get UNLV some losses from Nebraska and Northern Illinois that gets them into the mix in the power rankings and in the polls. So Barry Odom has something going in Vegas, and they're now a top 25 team receiving votes and the fourth most votes among non-ranked teams for a second straight week. UNLV has shown up that they're a college football group of five contender, and the Rebs have opportunities to make the program even bigger. How about a first ever AP top 25 ranking with matchups against Fresno State and Syracuse over the next two weekends? So there you go, the power rankings top 25 wise in college football as we get ready for another big week of games. Let's stack them up on coast to coast, and we'll hit all the big games and all the big spreads and see who's going to win this weekend. It's Pharrell on the bench. Check out, ooh, check out, ooh.